everybody. Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. I'm Kim.
God, you're so fucking bossy every time we start the fucking podcast, Kim. Just a typical white woman, American bossy over here.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I wear bossy on my sleeve very proudly. Kyle, I'm Kyle,
and I'm just not allowed to live my king life over here anymore.
No. Sorry I didn't have your meal waiting for you before totally. We recorded this podcast.
Stop looking out for my health, by the way.
These men need a woman to look out for their health because they're all like decking themselves playing really casual sports.
I know.
Flag football. Looking at you, Patrick. That is an abomination.
Give me a break. Like how are you? I don't know. Listen, do your hobbies. It's fine. I mean, I should be the last person to criticize someone's like physical activities, trust me. But it's just hard to wrap my mind around playing like a full contact sport after I had a kid. It's just a different, I don't know.
Yeah.
Not into it. But then again, I don't even like skiing down a hill higher than like 10 feet, so.
I mean, look, you know, this episode, I thought this episode was generally like pretty entertaining. I will say that I'm going to say something nice about Rob against my better judgment. But Rob, my man, you are hotter than Callum. Okay.
Well, so yeah.
I'm sad that you don't realize this and that you're so insecure and like, is this a man that's trying to get Sophie back? They're trying to make me like Rob, but they just can't achieve it because he's so awful every episode.
At the beginning of the season, we were speculating maybe this is going to be a turnaround story, but that has not occurred whatsoever. When you ask yourself, are they trying to make me like Rob? Like I don't. Where are you getting this from? He is awful every single fucking episode. He is a man baby, and it has not changed at all since the first season they were on.
No, they're trying really hard to make him a sympathetic character, but it's not working because he sucks. I think so. I think this is their best shot. I think this is their like best effort to try and make Rob likable. It's pretty bad when like they can't even bias the edit towards somebody. I was so mad at Gino this episode saying, oh, I can't afford an immigration attorney. If you can't afford a $5,000 immigration attorney, guess what? You shouldn't be having any fucking kids, Gino.
What are you talking about, dude?
Like, you're not working. You don't have health insurance. Do you know how much it is to have a baby?
Even if they magically conceived naturally tomorrow, it's going to cost a shitload more than $5,000. Are you kidding me? Especially because they're going to classify her as a geriatric pregnancy and make her get all these expensive tests and shit.
Yeah, definitely. Although they're trying to set it up and make it look like Jasmine's pregnant with all that eating at the Italian restaurant.
No.
You don't think so? That was my first thought.
She just wants to suck
noodles.
She's like,
I'm hungry. I mean, you know, who doesn't? Patrick and Thais are back, and we now know why they waited to air their segments, because they were waiting until John was engaged on the Single Life Tell-All Part 4 of 5. This past week, and now we know he's engaged.
It makes sense. It's funny that they're trying to pass this off like a actual timeline that is in order. I feel like Matt Sharp just, they haven't really paid attention to that stuff in the past very well. There's lots of weird continuity things on these shows, but it was a smooth transition from Single Life Tell All episode 4 out of 5 into HEA like the day before. And that was different. My expectations were on the floor, Kim, and they were slightly exceeded on continuity.
That's great. Yeah, we still have Single Life Tell All Part 5 of 5 coming up tomorrow, right?
Which is
finally
basically
the end.
Just a continuation of episode 2 out of 5. Because they cut it up and Franken edited the entire thing.
No, Mike is coming on. This is the big finale.
Guys, fucking so bossy, this podcast.
What else? I really enjoyed Nicole going completely off the rails.
Holy shit. She's unhinged.
It was great.
If we didn't read the trash news, I feel like we would have been Team Mahmood this entire season so far.
Yeah. Yeah, we would have been. I know. He's like just moping around looking sad and homesick and sleeping in the most giant throw pillow bed. There are like 50 throw pillows, and you know they're all from like the thrift store.
Exactly.
And so they smell like mothballs and like no.
Never been washed, all mismatched, got each 30 cents each.
Oh, horrible. My husband would lose his mind. Hates throw pillows.
They're completely worthless. I don't understand. My wife is a designy person, and we only have a couple throw pillows. It's not overboard. But what I find so strange is the imbalance between form and function, because I always the problem is I always come to bed way after she does. She goes to bed at like fucking 9 p.m. I'm coming in stoned and drunk at 10:45, and what's the first thing I do? I chuck the throw pillow off the bed, because that's what you fucking do with the throw pillow, and it wakes her up. Like, this is of your own doing.
Yeah.
I can gently put the throw pillow down on the ground, but it's all crinkly. It doesn't matter.
I have four throw pillows on my bed. My husband refuses to make the bed. He said that if it is my personal choice to have the throw pillows, I am responsible for bed making.
Which
is fine. That's fair. Yeah, I think it's fair. I know. I'm not knocking it. In other news, we have, oh my God, Brandan and what is this girl's name?
Mary,
thank you. Sorry. She posted that she has a small bump in her armpit and she's worried about it.
Wow. If I had access to my soundboard, I would be playing the Vuvuzela like on repeat. This is the kind of news you can come to expect from the Kellyanne Conway and Anderson Cooper of reality TV.
It's great.
Did
stuff.
I say Kellyanne it's Conway? That is not
you
what
sure
I meant
did.
To say
I
at all. Jesus Christ.
I wasn't sure if you were talking about me or Shibuti. So.
I'm channeling the bossiness, and I went way too far with it. I'm very sorry. I can't believe I said that.
Kyle, I also have a delightful piece of evidence. This is delightful. Delightful.
So it's Guess not Jesse... about mystery bumps on armpits.
No, that I'm done with that. I don't want to give her any more time about it. I just wanted to let people know she's still at it.
And the inevitable.
Mary is not giving up.
The inevitable GoFundMe. Yeah.
Yeah. Jesse.
Yeah.
Meester. Guess what he... Well, first of all, he posted this with like a Bible quote, which is Jeremiah 1:5, which is, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, which is like a lot.
Boring.
For Jesse Meester. Guess what he named his baby?
Khaleesi.
Which, stop, it's a boy. Which already has an Instagram handle, by the way.
Sure, yeah, of course.
Zeus.
Great. I feel like consent has been violated 7 or 8 times in that story.
Yeah. Oh, Jesse Meester. I miss that guy. Let's talk about Ashley Emanuel, because they're kind of the best. Look, this was fucking hilarious. Manuel's so hungry.
I get hangry.
Didn't give a shit. He didn't give a shit there in New York. Wasn't even looking around. He's just like, I need food. I don't give a shit about the Empire State Building. His face in the cab or the Uber on the way to Queens to their hotel was priceless. Just such a man baby. I loved it. Keep going, Manuel. Keep going.
I would 1000% behave like that if I didn't have something to eat for hours and hours. And that's why I, as an adult, take a Snickers with me if I feel like I am going to need a snacky snack on the way to my destination, Kim.
It wasn't like they traveled to New York by camel. They were on a fucking plane. So, I know, like, get a snack at the airport. Like, what are you doing?
How long is a flight from Rochester to New York? 30 minutes?
30 minutes? Like, get a snack at the airport.
I know.
You know, he probably wouldn't spend the money. He's like, $7? No fucking way. So get
Listen, I sympathize with being hangry. Ashley seemed to be intentionally trolling him, not allowing him to get any food, but also like, get a snack in the hotel lobby. Just do anything.
Instead,
he sits there while she reads tarot and takes a shower.
Instead, she's like, this is a great time. Well, he's telling me to hurry the fuck up to read tarot cards for a long extended period of time. And the tarot is never wrong, Kyle.
It's never fucking wrong.
Tarot says, this trip is not going to go well. I'm like, yeah, because you're reading tarot cards instead of taking a shower. The man just wants to eat. Once they were leaving the hotel room, oh, and by the way, she's like, I'll just make you a coffee to hold you over. That makes you more hungry. Nothing makes you more hungry than drinking coffee.
Now you're hungry and amped up about it.
So, yeah, Emmanuel's annoyed. He's hungry. He's angry. Ashley teaches him the term hangry. He agrees. She takes 2 hours to take a shower and get ready.
It's insane, dude. If you're Emmanuel and you have this, you know, rebel independent streak and you don't let your woman tell you what to do, I would have just fucking left. Walk down the street. Get a slice of pizza, man.
Yeah. I know, right? Like, what are you doing? You're in New York. You can literally have anything delivered also at any time.
And he's not.
And like, I
know he doesn't speak English very well, but he's not completely.
He doesn't need to speak English. You're in Queens.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, he's not completely helpless.
Look, I'm calling lies on this because they were waiting to meet his friend Jonathan. It's not like they just went out to eat. They met his friend Jonathan for dinner at the Ecuadorian restaurant. And they specifically stayed in Queens to, like, be near him. And because there's a large Ecuadorian population there, it was cute that, like, Manuel immediately was, A, so excited to eat. He was, like, singing at the elevator. And B, immediately notes that Queens is better than Rochester and, like, never wants to leave.
You can leave. You can go back to Rochester. I'm staying.
He's like, you can go right now. She's like, excuse me? I also call bullshit on this drama that Ashley, like, that none of his friends are going to like her. Like, Ashley clearly already knows this person, this Jonathan, right, and has a relationship with it. They hug when they see each other.
I mean, hugging isn't necessarily indicative of a personal relationship, given that Nicole's friends immediately hug a very, 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 very conservative Muslim man, like, with, like, crop tops on.
Yeah, that was great. We'll get there. But yeah, Manuel says, I can stay here with just the boys. You can go home to Rochester. I do wonder if he's serious, because he does seem to, like, genuinely love Ashley. But do you think he would, if he was like, Ashley, I'm just going to stay here for a couple months? Like, do you think he really would without seeing her at all?
No, he wouldn't. But I believe that he would move for sure.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah. It's funny. Like, I don't know. We probably can dig this up, but I don't think of Manuel living in, like, a major metropolitan area in Ecuador. For some reason, I picture him like living in the woods with, like, working in the, like, I don't know, like a factory in the jungle or something.
No, Well, so he works in construction. He is from a town that's like in eastern Ecuador, like on the edge of the Amazon. So it's, he very much lived on the edge of the jungle. But he said that he worked, he traveled for like his construction job. So he worked a lot in Guayaquil, which is a giant city. Okay.
So I'm not like completely making that up from literally nothing.
No, we looked that up last season. But I think like generally when he says like, oh, there's just so much more, you know, life and excitement here. I think even like the small towns have like a very vibrant street life, you know, where people are out and about, they're eating street food. They're like that's where people congregate and socialize. And I think Rochester is probably just very sleepy.
Comparatively. Yeah, that makes sense.
Comparatively. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Ashley also makes a comment that Manuel's on his phone like 24/7. And Jonathan's like, not with me. I'm like, oh, wrong answer, Jonathan. So now she gets worried that he's on the phone with some woman, a female. You know how we feel about females on the show.
We are against it.
Do you believe that that Manuel's ex called Jonathan asking about him? She's probably looking for money. She's like, you left me with these kids. I don't have any cash.
Seems strange, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I assume that he's known Manuel for a long time and must have known him when he was married and therefore knows his ex-wife. So maybe it makes sense that like, hey, he's in America. You're in America. Go fucking spy on him, even though you're 6 hours away from each other. You know, you're the same country. Go surveil.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, I don't know. He keeps going on and on about his privacy. Manuel really doesn't want anybody in his phone. He doesn't want Ashley to know what he's doing, who he's talking to. It is a little suspicious, but for some reason, I don't think he's doing anything that egregious.
Yeah, I think he has a decent point where he says, listen, I don't really have a in-person social life in fucking Rochester. Because I just moved there. I don't really have friends yet. So my social life is on the phone. I think that's a reasonable response. And the fact that she checks his phone, like she looks at his phone and goes through his texts, it kind of just feels like this is a nothing burger in terms of trust. It's more she's annoyed that he doesn't pay more attention to her. I don't think this is a trust thing.
She's just annoying with it. I don't know. Yeah. At any rate, I'm sure this drama will continue, and I can't wait to meet his family and for them to ask her about her occupation.
The whole season.
Good times.
It will definitely continue forever and ever and ever.
Let's talk about Nicole Mahmoud. This was great. I'm sorry. I know it's mean, but I really enjoyed this. Nicole just like being completely unhinged and screaming at him was wild. This is what, at a high level, like what happened. Nicole went out for a really long drunken dinner with her friends. She claimed she doesn't drink. I was like, she was definitely drunk. At least it seemed like it.
Yes.
They were like, Mahmoud wouldn't come out.
She screamed. What did she scream?
She called him a fucking liar.
She
said, you fucking liar. You hateful little fuck.
You hateful little fuck. Like, damn, she had to be wasted, right?
I mean, I've just never seen her say anything like that. And she was out with her friends for how many hours? And then they came home unannounced. It's probably like 1 a.m. And they're like, hey, Mahmoud, he was asleep in the bed. Because remember, she said he wears his street clothes to bed. So we woke up in her like 50 mothball throw pillows of different colors to the point where like it feels like you must be having a seizure probably looking at all those. And then he's in his street clothes and he's like, oh, hi, what? And all these drunk people are trying to hug him. I'm no Mahmoud fan, but like this would be not fun to experience.
I have, this just feels like something that would happen in your early 20s.
Yeah.
With not even with a partner, with a roommate. You know what I mean? Like,
happen in my early 20s with a roommate. Yes.
Like,
yes.
I would never take the party from the bar to my house without fucking calling my wife first and letting her know, and much less people that she has never met. that's just in, even if it's your house, like I get that it's your house and these are people you love and you trust, that feels like kind of a violation when you're trying to get him used to his new life and new home, right? They're sharing this house together. Like if you believe that this isn't completely made up and just not just like a Nicole revenge fantasy, that's going on, you know, they're supposed to be living together forever in Los Angeles and they're supposed to make this a home together. That just, you just don't do that to someone. Take the religious aspect out of it. Like there's neither here nor there. What the fuck? Like she did this just to fuck with him because she felt that he was big mean to her and it was just vengeance.
It really was. It really was. I know. I thought it was interesting, like the dinner with the friends. She comes straight out with it and said, Mahmood didn't come because he wants to get a divorce because my back is exposed in this dress. And the male friend immediately says, well, why didn't you just, yeah, he was like, why didn't you just change your dress then? I'm like, oh God.
Sounds
but she
like
laid
you,
down the law.
Sounds
she
like
laid
you
down
were
the law.
Asking for it.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, male friend, you're not going to be invited back. But yeah, I mean, she could have if she really just, I mean, again, this is not new information. This is not a relationship I would ever want to be in. You know, if the allegations against Mahmood are true, he's a piece of shit. More than we even know, more than we even see on the show. But if she is agreeing to marry him and therefore agreeing to like sacrifice, I don't know, and kind of bend to what he wants, maybe, I don't know. This is hard. It was just funny he asked that. Then she's like deliberating on, well, my back isn't showing that much. It's like, this is just the religious rule that he lives by. You're not going to win an argument about right. how much skin on your back is showing. It doesn't matter. Like, stop talking about it, you know?
It seems like she's applying like really Western perceptions of how you keep to your religious faith to him. You know, we've all joked about, you know, Catholics do whatever the fuck they want and apologize later in the pew, yeah. you know, and just move on. And we've talked many times about how, you know, there's a lot more bark than bite when it comes to people following their religion in the United States. And so maybe she's just like, well, he's here now, so he has to take things a little bit easier. And whether or not you agree that he should is not really, I guess, that important. It's just really been clear from the beginning he's not going to do that ever.
No, he's not.
He takes this really seriously. And honestly, like the fact that he didn't like freak the fuck out right away when her friend hugged him in that way, I thought that was like kind of progress in a weird way.
Yes, pretty big deal. Yeah, I would say so. I especially like they came home and start doing shots. She asked, the one girl says she wants tequila shots. Like, who
immediately?
I guess
had to be like, okay. Producer trolling like extraordinaire right there. Come on.
Maybe she's like, I don't, but she says Mahmood is uncomfortable with me having alcohol in the house and I wasn't trying to hide it from him, but I had it in the freezer. That means it's not beer or wine. That's hard liquor if it's in the freezer. So
yeah, it
it's
vodka.
Either, yeah, tequila or vodka or something. Which is just a like with no mixer. It's just like a strange thing. I can't
Again,
remember the last time I took a shot at a friend's house.
Fucking 19-year-old like, shit going on here.
It is weird. So Mahmood looks so awkward and angry, though, when they show up. We're supposed to think that this is, like, well-intentioned. They're like, we just want to meet him. Like, if he wanted to meet you, he probably would have left the house. But now you're, like, stalking him. It's weird.
It seems like this devolves next episode, though.
Oh, I can't wait to see what happens because Mahmood said he was tired. He tries to smooth this over. When the friends are like, oh, well, why didn't you come to dinner? Mahmood does the thing that a sane person would do, which is like, oh, I was just really tired, so I didn't go.
You're a fucking liar. Tell him the truth.
Yeah. Nicole then screams that he threatened divorce and yells after him when he leaves the house, which, by the way, is probably what I would do in this case, that he's a hateful little fuck. Damn, where's Brother Mahmood that always smooths this over when they need it? Marriage counselor Mahmood's brother.
Other than her exposed back dress, what is he hateful about?
I mean, just I think generally her clothes? He's hateful. But generally he's not hateful. But I mean, what was he supposed to do? I think leaving the house is probably the best action.
Just where's he gonna go in the middle of the night? That's just awkward.
Walk around. Yeah. I don't know, people are out. You know. It's probably Saturday night.
That's really gonna improve his mood, walking around fucking Santa Monica in the middle of the night on a weekend.
Seriously. Is there anything better in the entire world than the smell of fresh baked bread coming out of the oven? Like, seriously, what is actually better than that? Or homemade pasta, which is a little bit of high-quality olive oil. What if I told you that you could get the delicious experience of homemade bread with none of the time or work involved? Because let's face it, I don't know how the hell to make bread. Do you know how to make bread? Like, good bread. If you're like me, you need Wild Grain. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes from frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required, which is great for me because I hate thawing things. Like, who has the time or foresight to actually thaw things? Not me. The team at Wild Grain just sent me a new box and it was so incredible. I want to tell you all about it. So first off, I made some incredible fettuccine for my entire family. I just took it out of the freezer. I boiled it for like 7 minutes, I think. And then I tossed it in some high quality olive oil and a little bit of roasted zucchini and asparagus. This took me maybe 15 minutes total. And it was an incredible healthy dinner. So good. My family loved it. And then I also got 3 frozen loaves of bread. I started with a sourdough that had like sesame seeds on top of it. And I put it in the oven on Saturday morning. It baked in like, I think, 22 minutes. And then I made avocado toast with it. And my husband and my 3-year-old son were like in heaven. And then I used the rest of that loaf of bread for sandwiches for lunch. There's also croissants. I'll tell you more about those in a minute, which I used for breakfast on Sunday, just with scrambled eggs and bacon. Delicious. Like, I'm never going to make croissants. And these are just so good. And I also got macarons. Now, I hid those for my family. I ate them just before recording this podcast by myself in my podcast room. Have you ever tried to actually make a macaron like by yourself? It's impossible. I have never been able to do it. This was just the best treat. I kept them all for myself. And if you're looking for a Mother's Day gift that your mother will actually like, or you're planning a brunch for Mother's Day, check out Wild Grain. It'll make it so easy for you and so delicious. Just order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. You can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box. I just want to say that one more time. Free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/craycray to start your subscription. You heard me. Please listen as I repeat. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain, that's wildgrain.com/craycray. That's wildgrain.com/craycray. Or you can just use promo code CRAYCRAY at checkout.
As you well know, I'm always trying to cut back on sugar, and Magic Spoon makes that easier than ever. Growing up, cereal is one of the best parts of being a kid. I definitely ate cereal all the time as a kid, but as I got older, I had to watch out for sugar, empty carbs, all that good stuff. Magic Spoon has amazing flavors that you love, but high protein and less sugar. Check out Magic Spoon Variety Pack, which includes 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net net carbs and only 140 calories per serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar, and it's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, and soy free. My favorite flavor is frosted, but the wife loves fruity. Go to magicspoon.com/craycray to grab a variety pack and try today. And be sure to use our promo code CRAYCRAY at checkout to save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it is back with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, start off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal in the morning at magicspoon.com/craycray and use code CRAYCRAY to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Like, go for a run? Would you just take a nap or read a book? I know I would probably take a nap. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you, to prioritize, and to make priorities. Therapy can really help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. My experience with therapy has been that when I know I have time slotted to talk through the hard things that are going on in my life, my worries, my frustrations, things that I want to work on, I'm better able to take care of the people in my life and just enjoy the day to day and be better to the people that I love. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries, and it just empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched almost immediately with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit betterhelp.com/craycray today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BETTER. HELP.com/craycray, CRAYCRAY. And thank you so much to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. All right, let's move on to Rob and Sophie. Rob, as I specified in the opening, Callum is like a young, cute boy. He literally looks like a boy to me. He looks like 19. But Rob is, like, definitely better looking. I just wish he would, like... I feel like Rob was super cocky last season, and now he's lost all his self-confidence, the little that he had. So it's a shame.
Well, it's just clear that he never had any confidence to begin with.
He was putting on a facade.
Yeah, he was putting on an act because he's on TV. He's trying to come off like a big shot. He's got the hot girl coming in. Things are looking, you know, looking his way, looking up. And he just withers under any perceived threat. What's funny is that Callum just straight up says, yeah, I totally fuck her.
He, in his ITM, I know, he's like, I would definitely date again if she wanted to. I was like, whoa, okay. Well, I guess we got to be Team Rob on this specific point now. So
I'm still not. Yeah, he's such a fucking baby about it. No, he's just
Look.
Dealing with it the absolute worst way imaginable. That said, like we said last episode, I do agree. She should have said something. It was dumb because you knew it was going to go down this way. You had to know.
That's true. But when she says they were 15.
Okay.
15.
I know. But also remember, like, she's like 22. What?
I know, but 15?
So,
you're a child.
Last episode, Sophie said 16 or 17. This episode, Sophie said 15. And then Rob said 13 or 14. Did you notice that?
No. We got some Fernanda math coming on.
Ruh-roh.
Uh-oh. I was 15, he was 21. Wait, no, I was 19, was 26. That's right.
Wait.
Yeah, minus 7 years. Right. Cool. I mean, Rob says that he is, you know, it's fine for him to be angry about this, and he's justified in it because his ex cheated on him with her friend. He's very sensitive to the situation. That's not Sophie's fault.
No, that's not the take at all, man.
But I do kind of believe that, like, Sophie would, like, maybe bang this guy if she wasn't with Rob.
Well, it would be her right to do so. It would be none of his fucking business.
No, I know. What I'm just saying, like, I think she thinks he's hot. She's a little giggly around him. It was a little weird. I don't know.
Yeah. The play here is to express that you have anxiety about it, but not get specifically mad at her and for, you know, even being associated with someone. Now, I do get being annoyed that she didn't tell the whole thing, but it wasn't even that she didn't tell him the whole thing. Like, she kind of did lie to him that, like, it wasn't really.
Yes. It depends on if it was 13 or 14 or 15 or 16 or 17.
But yeah, it's just, this is way overblown in some ways, but then it's just funny to see, like, you're so fucking Rob, you fucking loser. And then Callum's like, yeah, I totally bang her. It's like, oh, you fucking dumbass.
Neither of these two is ready for marriage. Like, I don't know. It's bad.
This pattern of her forgiving him instantaneously and acquiescing to anything that he wants. Like, I've been, like, proud of her for not moving back in with him until this point. And now she's just going to move back the next day because what? Because what did he do to demonstrate that he has changed or improved in any way that makes you feel like, well, now's the time to move in? And, like, to cut off a friend permanently, like, if you feel like you have to do that because your husband's insecure, get a new husband. Stupid.
Yeah, he tells her that she has to make it up to him. I'm like, are you trying to get her back? And, like, then we have this flashback. I wish we would have seen this whole scene.
You gotta do more, babe. You know, I have this list that I have ready.
Can we talk about your toilet paper usage? Because that was at number one. No, she says that we have this very brief flashback of Sophie talking to Callum about not talking to Callum as much and, like, cutting back on her friendship with him. And Callum pushes back. He's like, you can't just cut me out. But she chose to prioritize Rob and basically says, I can't be friends with you anymore. That seems like a bit much.
Yeah, it's kind of whack. I mean, there's circumstances where that I feel like is more acceptable. Like, thinking about, like, if you did cross a line with someone recently, I'm thinking like Jasmine with Dane, like that felt a little bit more reasonable that she would do a friend breakup with him, you know?
That's true. But Callum did admit in his ITM that he wanted to fuck her. So,
and yeah, if Rob,
I mean, she's married. It's kind of messed up to say.
Yeah, I know. If Rob maybe found a scandalous text between them, okay, maybe.
Also, Rob, just like, hot tip about bats. They fly out from under the bridge at sunset, and once it's dark, you cannot see the bats anymore.
That's one of the only things I did when I was in Austin besides eat barbecue.
Same.
Just stuff my fucking face with barbecue. And it's broad daylight when they fly out.
Yes. It's like, yeah, twilight. Yeah.
I was like six.
I mean, for somebody that claims to know so much about, like, creepy crawly types of living creatures, like his tarantulas, he's like, I love bats. I love things that crawl in the night. Well, clearly you don't know anything about bats because you were there at the wrong fucking time.
You'll know that you're there at the right time because there's 10,000 other fucking people there too.
Yes, and 10,000 plus bats flying around into the air. It's pretty hard to miss. Instead, they just, like, stand in the middle of the street on this bridge. And it's very strange. Kyle, let's talk about Patrick and Thais. Newcomers. First time we've seen them this season.
So much
recap,
man.
Not a whole lot going on. Yeah, a lot of recap. Are they going to visit his family? I forgot. His dad lives in Brazil.
Maybe that'll be, yeah, maybe. But it seems like their first stop is to see her dad so that he can shit on Patrick mercilessly, which will be funny.
It will be. I'm not excited for it.
The main thing here is that John essentially invites himself. I'm assuming that his fiance isn't coming, Megan, with the kid.
No, I don't think Matt Sharp pays for girlfriends or fiancés of the ancillary characters to travel internationally.
That would be funny. It would
maybe
be.
It was like an adjacent state, but
well, that, you know, that just goes to show that Matt Sharp doesn't think Megan is dramatic enough,
which is true.
Yeah,
and like,
she's not.
I say this with a lot of respect for Megan. She's too boring for the show. That is a compliment.
Right. So yeah. John essentially invites himself, and then Thais is big mad about this, but then within hours says that it's okay because she needs that Matt Sharp check.
For Elise in her wardrobe.
Uh-huh.
Sounds a little bit like Khaleesi.
Add KH to that name and you got a problem.
Yeah. There's so many kids named Khaleesi.
Yeah. Good job, parents. Maybe wait until the fucking book's done before you name kids.
You've got a... Oh, God. Yeah, it's... Didn't end up how I thought it was going to, that series. Khaleesi didn't go down a good path.
I think a lot of people were surprised.
I think most were. That's right. I can't get over how good Thais's like English has gotten. I have to say, out of everybody that we've had on the show, because she spoke no English on their season, and
which
now,
I forgot about.
And it's particularly impressive because Patrick speaks her language,
right? Yeah.
So they could be like Manuel and Ashley speak Spanish all day. I don't know what Patrick and Thais like speak when they're alone together. When they're on the show, they speak English together, probably for just ease of filming and whatnot. But like, I wonder if they speak Portuguese together when they're alone.
Right. Totally. Yeah.
So I don't know. Her English has gotten really good. She's mainly mad at Patrick in the scene because they have to go on this trip to Brazil, and now this knee thing is going to impact her trip.
Well, yeah, I thought it was funny that she's just like, earlier in the episode, we have Emily all over Kobe for continuing to put stress on his knee in an unnecessary, from her perspective, situation. Meanwhile, Patrick like got into this in a dumb way, but he's taking care of himself, and she's still so angry at him. She's so mad at him playing fat flag football with his buddies and fucking himself up.
It's really funny. Flag football. Like, dude, I don't know.
I played flag football when I was 11. I fucked up my finger. It's still all fucked up. That's the only injury I got.
At least it wasn't your knee. I don't know. What's more valuable, a knee or a finger?
Well, I can use the finger. It's just all bulgy.
That's true. Yeah, it's, you know, you're a man. It doesn't need to look good.
No, it just means I have character and that I've done things.
Yeah, of course.
It kind of offsets the fact that I have like
to the ground.
Yeah, it offsets the fact that I have the softest hands of like anyone I know because I just spend the entire day on computers.
You're like, one time I was doing physical labor. So I'm really glad that John invites himself to Brazil, because otherwise these two would be so boring. They need John. Without John, they have nothing. He is the potty person.
Potty.
He kept saying potty.
We're going to have
like,
a potty?
A what? A potty for Elise.
Yeah. I just don't think that the Thais's dad hates Patrick subplot could carry the whole season. So yeah, it is good that he's going.
You know what's great about that, though? I really do believe that her dad does hate Patrick.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be funny.
Totally.
Yeah. And then, I don't
know.
Like,
Patrick's fine. Like, it's just, it's funny. Like, she could do way fucking worse than Patrick.
Oh, yeah. As far as husbands we've seen on the show, he is, I mean, again, this is my recency bias. I literally can't remember anything from their season, which means they were probably boring.
They were.
He didn't do anything, like. He treats her well. He's fine.
No. Yeah. I mean, I remember remarking that they did the process in a way that seems sane. Like he,
yeah, he went down to see her for several times a year. They dated for 2 years.
Right.
2 years.
And the connection makes sense. It's not that he was just trolling for puss on the apps and just setting
like
his
Garrick.
Location like fucking pole or something, you know?
Yeah.
He actually has a family connection in Brazil that he was, you know, visiting and he was working.
He speaks Portuguese.
Right.
Yeah. Seems reasonable.
If everyone
looks
like
can't
Patrick,
drive very well.
we would not have a show for sure.
No, we really wouldn't. We get just please no more Patricks. And John again, like John carried their season because he was living with them. Thais was annoyed. He brought his girls over. You know, he made the season, so he's back.
By the
All
hookers.
Right. Yeah. Let's talk about Gino Jasmine.
I guess the compromise here is that he's going to do the paperwork and have an attorney just like glance at it for 5 minutes. Okay.
I mean, how much is that going to cost as opposed to just having the attorney fill out the paperwork?
I feel like
you know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm sure you can find an attorney that would do that. It just is one of those things like, who wants to just get paid a couple hundred bucks to look over some paperwork?
Nobody.
Yeah, it's just...
Nobody.
I feel like you would have a harder time finding someone than just getting a part-time job and paying for it.
That's the thing. It's like, we haven't addressed it all season. Like, why isn't Gino working? And if you can't afford basic things like lawyers for your to get your stepchildren here, like, what are you doing all day?
And why is having a kid, another kid, even on the table, not even priority, but on the table at all?
Yeah. I can't answer these questions. It seems stupid to me. He doesn't even know, like, Jasmine runs off when we open the scene, and he's like, what did I do? Like, really, Gino?
You fucking idiot.
Dana, your cousin Dana told you were a fucking asshole. Don't play dumb. And, I mean, Jasmine admits that she has made, like, empty threats in the past, but that she is, like, dead serious about this time that she might have to go back.
Which I believe.
And I do, too, but he doesn't give her what she wants, which is why I found it, like, so annoying.
Yeah, because now we revert back to Jasmine happy for 10 minutes. And, you know, we do the Lady and the Tramp with the pasta. And we make everything about sex. And then, you know, the end. I'm sure it's going to be a complete dumpster next episode because she was happy for 30 seconds. And we can't have that.
I just want to remind everybody that this is a woman that spent $5,000 on her butt. No,
right.
$10,000. $5,000 of Gino's money. So that was fine. He was fine to give her $5,000 to spend on a wedding dress slash butt. But now that we need $5,000 for a lawyer, why doesn't she just ask Dane?
Because she friend broke up with him, Kim. She left him a voicemail.
This would actually be like a thing that she should ask him for.
That's
like money to get her kids over.
I mean, that would, if you would have to think that Gina would feel more emasculated by that gesture than the butt.
Well, he should. He should pay for a fucking lawyer then. I mean,
Get a job, deadbeat.
I don't know. It just seems like that would be a better use of Dane than a butt. But I wanted to remind everybody that $10,000 was spent on the butt. And now they don't have $5,000 to pay to get her kids over. So that sucks.
I know we've said this 20 times. I still don't believe Gino gave her $5,000 for the wedding dress. That's insane.
No way.
It's just
he gave her $5,000 for the butt because he wanted the butt.
He paid like $20 for her wedding ring. It just seems so out of character.
I guarantee you that Gino is happy that Dane paid for half the butt because he got a bargain. He got 50% off.
His dick is still getting hard with that blue pill looking at that butt. So he's not that upset about
he
it.
He loves that butt. And there's there's just no.
Wow, butt. Look at that thing. I could bounce a quarter off it.
So they go to an Italian restaurant, and we learn that Gino counts an all-you-can-eat salad bar for lunch as a date. Even when he has coupons, she calls him out so hard. You know, he also told her to like eat her money's worth, you know?
Oh,
even though it was like $4.99 special.
Yeah, yeah. No, babe, they don't charge by the pound here. So you fill up your plate as high as you can go. It's the same price.
God. So she's eating a lot at the Italian restaurant, and I guarantee you they're trying to like intimate that she's pregnant.
I think
that's what production's doing here.
I don't know.
They keep zooming in on her food. I was like, what's happening? Are you trolling Jasmine? It's pretty fucked up troll. It's like, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But Jasmine expresses her gratitude to Gino, and it really, really annoyed me. Like, thank you for doing everything you're doing for my children. I'm like, he's not doing shit for your children, girl.
He's done literally nothing.
He won't even
get
a lawyer.
He basically...
Literally nothing.
He basically committed to pay a lawyer a couple $100 to look it over, which... I'm sure they're going to find some sucker to do this because it's 90 day, but I feel like in the real world, it'd be tough to find someone that would agree to do that. Maybe he's just going to fucking legal zoom it.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like you need a lawyer in this case. Like, it's just very sensitive. It's not like, oh, we might be delayed or whatnot. It's like her kids. Ugh. I don't know. This is hard. Yeah, not much else here. Gino gets mad that Jasmine told him he wasn't ready to be a father when she was angry. But she apologizes, but I think she's right. I mean, he doesn't want to spend any money. Babies are expensive. Kids are exhausting.
You think Gino's going to name his kid Zeus?
Like Jesse Meester? No, I don't. I actually think he would name him something like Tony or... I don't know.
Ralph.
Andrew. Ralph. Ralph's a good name. Hello, lovely listeners. Are you super bummed that this podcast is just about over? Do you want to hear extended podcast commentary on the 90 Day franchise, 90 Day gossip, and coverage for other 90 Day shows and other viral reality TV? Or maybe you just hate ads. If you want to listen to Kyle and I talk about the absurdity of the 90 Day franchise of shows and occasionally other viral reality TV for even more hours every week, sign up for our premium podcast feed, either via Patreon with our 30-second sign-up on Supercast or directly through Apple Podcasts. It's only $5 a month if you sign up via Patreon or Supercast. It's extremely easy to sign up for and add to the podcast app of your choice. You'll get an extended version of this podcast weekly, about an hour and a half or 2 hours long, and our B-Sides episode, which drops on Tuesday night, which we discuss more 90 Day Gossip, other 90 Day shows that are airing that we don't get to on the main episode, and other TV. We're currently covering The Single Life. You know, there's 5 parts to this tell-all. And soon, Love in Paradise will be starting. And we're also currently covering Seeking Sister Wife, which is super fun. You'll also get full access to our complete archive podcast catalog. So what are you waiting for? Treat yourself. Visit realitycraycray.com to sign up now. That's realitycraycray.com. I think that's it. Did we hit all the people?
We did. And we didn't have to skip anyone this week either.
Oh, delightful.
Yeah.
What did you think about the episode overall?
This season's been decent for HEA. I feel like this was on the lower end. But just mostly because Ashley Emmanuel had only a couple funny things when usually I'm laughing the entire time they're on screen. But... Nicole bringing home her buddies was just like so outrageous and just bizarre that kind of made the episode for me, how strange this whole thing was.
I really liked this episode. I thought it was funny. It wasn't as funny as like the priest or the deacon last episode.
I will be kind of surprised if that's not the best scene of the entire season.
It was really good.
Absolutely nobody thinks that she didn't know what that Bible was. She was just fucking around.
Oh, of course. No, nobody thinks that. Do you think that Nicole and Mahmoud are going to like make it through the season, or do you think he's literally going to go home in like 2 seconds?
I don't know. The Yes.
I feel like he might really go home. Like, this has got to be the end. This is not going to work. This is not sustainable.
Can he afford a return ticket to Egypt? Presumably it was one way. Unless, again, this is all fucking completely made up and he had a return ticket that he can change.
I don't know, but if he goes home, they're done because he can't come back. His K-1 is void.
Maybe she's stupid enough to go back to Egypt for a seventh time.
I don't want to watch it. I'm done. No. I'm done with Egypt. Like, yeah. I enjoyed the drama, but, like, I'm done with it now. Do you know who I was thinking about today that I am, like, kind of, like, low-key surprised isn't back? Is Kim and TJ in India? I just feel like she moved home and they haven't seen each other since.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised we haven't heard.
They had so much drama.
Yeah, we've heard really no updates since that. The tell-all that was very strange and kind of non-committal on where they stood.
They weren't even on diaries.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big miss. I would love to know what's up with them. I mean, we heard from way less interesting people. We saw Fernanda on the Single Life tell-all part 4 of 5. Like, tell me what's up with Kim and TJ. Are they still, like, screaming at each other? Is he going to leave his family? Is he going to come here? Remember he, like, came to the U.S. and visited? Like, what's going on with them? They're married. They had a big-ass wedding.
Maybe Kim is going to come on the HEA tell-all, and they're going to have a tarot off with her and Ashley.
Yeah. Speaking of the Single Life tell-all, we will be talking about part 5 of 5 on B-Sides this week.
Wow. Wow. Part 5.
I know you're so excited. Also, thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to BetterHelp. You can go to betterhelp.com/craycray, get 10% off your first month. And also thank you to our new sponsor, Wild Grain. Kyle, Wild Grain's fucking amazing.
Yeah, you got the bread sent to you.
I got the bread. I'm sorry. So Wild Grain's like a customizable bread, pasta, and pastry box. And you guys, it's incredible. Everything comes frozen. It's fucking great. For a limited time, you can get 30%, or sorry, 30. Let me do that again. For a limited time, you can get $30 off your first box and free croissants also.
What?
In every box. Yeah, I know. It's great. Go to Wild Grain. That's wild, like W-I-L-D, grain.com/craycray.
And if you want to sign up for extra content, if you haven't yet, just go to realitycraycray.com. $5. Get triple the stuff. And we are next week releasing our D-Sides, the documentary companion podcast on All Quiet on Set. Which is just super uplifting. It really is like life affirming. You know what I mean?
People are like, why do you cover all the bummer documentaries? Because
well,
there's
the best
no
ones.
Not bummer documentaries. So just like one happy documentary ever that was interesting. It was when the kids got rescued from the cave in Thailand. That's like literally the only uplifting documentary I've seen in the last 10
and
years.
People still died horrifically in that doc too.
Oh, they did. I don't remember that part.
Yeah.
Okay, tuck that away. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Or if you're a premium subscriber, we'll see you Tuesday with the tell-all.
Oi! Thanks for listening to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Join our community of Cray Crays by subscribing to our premium podcast feed for $5. Either on Supercast or Patreon by visiting realitycraycray.com. Benefits include 3 times the podcast content you get now, ad-free, covering all other 90 Day Fiancé content, and our listener-requested favorite shows outside 90 Day. Access to our members-only Facebook group with thousands of 90 Day fanatics, our podcast archives with over 600 episodes, all ad-free, and you can listen to all of that on your favorite podcast player. With an optional subscription add-on, you also get access to our long-form documentary podcast, D-Sides, where we cover the latest streaming documentaries. You're almost there, lazy. Go to realitycraycray.com and sign up literally in seconds if you use Apple Pay. All the links I've mentioned are in the show notes. Thanks again, and see you next week.